Hey everyone, welcome to our podcast. We are The Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. I am Pastor Mike Erdman, and I'm going to take a minute and introduce everybody who's at the table today, starting with...
This is Pastor Shane Beeson.
Pastor Jacob Krotzenberg.
I am Heather Blackstone.
And we are in a series titled The Truth. We are talking about Jesus and the pillars of the Foursquare Church. And a few weeks ago, Angie brought a message of Jesus is Savior. And this week, we were on Jesus is our Healer. And Pastor Shane, you had an awesome message. The services were powerful. I was very, very glad that I was a part of that. And I'm just wondering if you have kind of what did you want the people to hear? What was your heart for preaching this message that Jesus is Healer?
Yeah, great question. I think if I were to sum it up really simply is that Jesus is our healer, and that when we follow Jesus, we walk with the healer, that Jesus heals, meaning it's active and happening today. There's people that actually walk in the gift of healing even, but that doesn't mean you can't heal. It means that some people have that gift and it's unique and special, but everyone can walk in the authority of Jesus. The other part is the aspects in which he heals. So he heals our spirit, our soul, our body. I emphasized the spirit because that's the part that he yearns for. That's the eternal part of us. We do live in a decay and fallen world, and this world will continue to decay. And so we talked about this, but it's like I can get healed today and then get sick again tomorrow. Yeah. Or I think about sports athletes that I've prayed for that have received healing, and they're like, okay, you're healed, but you have a football game next week. You might break your leg. You know, like it's not that you're forever healed and nothing's ever going to happen to you. And to that aspect, one of the points of healing on this earth is to empower evangelism. Mm-hmm. It's to display that our God is the living God that has power over sickness, death, and disease. And then there is that encouragement of anybody can do this. And you don't have to be some super spiritual person or you have some super spiritual perfect prayer. It's not this method that you have to do exactly right to have something happen. And actually, I'll share a quick story. I have a buddy, Chad, which I talk about on Sunday, but I've been with him when we've been praying for strangers in the street and somebody get healed and then him say, hey, you just experienced healing. Why don't you pray just like I prayed? Let me show you how simple it is. You pray for this person. And then I've seen an unsaved person get healed, pray for somebody else in Jesus' name, and them get healed. And then it just starts this whole thing that leads to this moment of proclaiming who Christ is and them all getting saved because they realize in that moment that Jesus is alive. He's Lord and King. And so not to rattle on and on about it, but I wanted people to come out Sunday inspired about Jesus, who he is, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that they can partner with him in the mission. We're supposed to be active. We're not supposed to be passive and just wait around for the end of the world, but like, let's go. Let's get going.
And I love the evangelistic aspect of that. I think a lot of times, and I know I've been guilty of this, is you want to see the healing for almost, I don't want to say selfish reason, but mm-hmm. it is like, I just want you to be better and then you can go about your life. But if you look at Jesus, I mean, my favorite story is when they lower the guy on the mat through the ceiling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we always focus on, he was healed. He got up, he picked up his mat and walked. But the first thing Jesus said to him was, your sins are forgiven.
Wow, yeah.
Your sins are forgiven. And then it sparked the conversation with the religious leaders that says, that's blasphemy. Who is this man? And Jesus said, to prove I have the power to forgive sins, get up and walk.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was a breakthrough in their lives.
And that showed, there's a lot there of what you just said, but isn't that interesting that the more important thing to say in that moment where your sins mm-hmm. were forgiven, which relates to that eternal part of us, the spirit, the salvation spark that's happened, and then he heals his body. And here's what's interesting. We talked about the word sozo on Sunday and what salvation actually means, saved, healed, delivered. And that kind of is represented in that moment where he says it two different ways, but the result is the same: healing.
Yep. Yep. And that's the holistic thing. And that's, God is interested in all of us, mm-hmm. like not all of us as a people, but all of us as a person, my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit, everything to be whole. And ultimately that's where you said healing will happen.
Well, and I think something that I hope people heard on Sunday was that God hates this sickness, mm-hmm. death, and disease more than we do. Right. Like, he hates that,
yeah.
it, because it's a byproduct of sin, and we weren't created to experience that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the original design, and that was a byproduct of Satan's activity and our failure of sinning and essentially giving Satan a ruling type of authority temporarily here on the earth. And so the Lord is looking to reverse all of that, yep. to reverse the curse, right? So yeah, really, really interesting. I hope people were stirred up. I really hope that they're willing to step out of their box and actually, you know, pray for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the scariest things, is I know I've had opportunities to pray for people when God says, pray for them. And I go, I can't do that. What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? And knowing the authority that Jesus has given takes the pressure off of me. It's not about me. It's about being obedient. And you mentioned that Sunday too. It's, I'm obedient to the Father. He says, do it. And I did it. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen because he told me and I'm following.
Yeah. That's the way I operate. For me, it's obedience. But I have a question for us, which is interesting. I just thought of this, and, you know, it's funny, in our Western culture is so different than so much of the other world, but why is it that in so many other places, specifically third world environments, why is there so much healing, number one, and then so much openness to divine healing?
Mm. That is a good question.
It's a really interesting question, because a lot of the time when I talk to people, especially non-believers, who are giving their thoughts as to why God does not exist, they point to things like these third world countries where people are starving to death or don't have any clean water. But when you actually look at those cultures, a lot of times those are the ones with some of the strongest faith.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are starting revivals and who are content walking 10 miles to gather with a body
Absolutely.
Of believers to praise the Lord and to pray for healing and to experience healing and then to send that out. There's a lot of people I know who come from countries in Africa or other places around the world who have been sent out with the message of, I got to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know many of you have experiences and those out there listening, but I immediately, as you're talking about, I'm thinking about things I saw in Jamaica, things I saw in Haiti. I remember going to this church in Haiti that was literally a hut, and the pews were made literally out of 2x4s. Like the seat was a 2x4s sticking out of the ground, and then one long 2x4 across. Like they sat on a 2x4, and they had rows of 2x4s. And I sat in that church, and I felt the presence of God so strong. And then you look at the people, and they're full of joy, mm. and they don't care about these things that you're talking about, like walking 10 miles or having limited water. I mean, obviously they want those things, but they're so thankful for what they have, and they're so full of the joy of the Lord and passion and all these things. And it just is funny how then we live in such a culture that's so comfortable, that we have so many things and we're so depressed and we're so full of anxiety and we don't see healings. Meanwhile, there we're seeing tons of healings, things like that. And it does reveal something. And I don't know quite all that it is, but it does reveal something. And I think, you know, many people, you'd mention, like, what does the Western viewpoint have of those areas, and then the fact that it's probably very skewed, and we see them as downtrodden and just poor and whatever else. And the reality is, even the scripture, Jesus says this in scripture, but that they're rich, mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, I see that richness. I see healing. I see deliverance. I see smiles. I see brightness on people's faces, even in the midst of hunger or exhaustion or the lack of things. And so anyways, it's a powerful thought to think about.
Well, let's go into why sometimes people don't get healed, because I think even just bringing that up, it highlights the difference between sort of what we desire and what we need. Mm-hmm. And there's always a desire for healing, or there's a desire to have all of our needs and wants met, but maybe that's not God's design for us. Or like there's a bit of the mystery of the will of God in there. And absolutely. So maybe we can talk about why sometimes people don't get healed.
Well, and I'll throw out what I talked about on Sunday. This is my perspective. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts, was that ultimately everyone that is in Christ gets healed, because eternally we will be healed. So when someone's sick on earth and they do pass as a Christian, they are fully healed and well eternally, right? So I don't like saying they're not healed or they didn't get healed, because they do and did, but there is this aspect of it didn't happen how I wanted, when I wanted, where I wanted. And that is a good question. And I did bring up some experiences where I've seen people get healed, but over the course of years versus in one moment. And I talked about my friend John and how his process was a long process. But my argument or my processing for why God didn't heal the first time we prayed is because there was more healing that needed to be happened. It was a deeper healing where John actually had to come to a point where he had to make lifestyle changes and decisions that were deeply rooted and tied to family of origin issues and trauma and all these things. And God didn't just heal him in a second. He worked with John through a time where John found healing, spirit and soul and body. And what's cool about the result of John's healing is because that he didn't get healed in an instant, he got healed in a process. He now does that for others and helps other people walk through healing. And so why didn't God heal instantly? For me, that's just one example of God revealing to me, hey, my plan is bigger than what you see. And yeah. And I think that's part of it for me. But yeah, jump on in. What do you think?
Your question, I'm reminded, Isaiah 57:1-2, the righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Mm-hmm. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Mm-hmm. And so I totally agree with, sometimes you have the healing over time so that you grow into it, because if you were just released from it, you're not going to appreciate or understand or walk in the purpose of mm-hmm. why you're still here.
And you might just repeat exactly what
you might
got
just
you there
stay
in that
lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't have to learn, just as a child is taught by the father. Well, right. That's exactly what's happening. Sometimes the instant healing does the evangelistic thing that Jesus is desiring and brings people to him by seeing he is interacting with them on earth. And so you see that, I would say, especially in places that are desperate and looking for the Savior. You know, America's not looking for the Savior. We have science, we have doctors, we have medicine, we have all these things. Yeah. And well, if Jesus doesn't work, I know I have this.
Yeah.
And so Jesus heal me, whatever, and I'm going to the doctor.
Right.
So
well, and in other areas they can't do that.
And they
so
can't.
They're desperate, crying out, "Yeah, Lord, heal me. I will do anything. I will give anything to be healed." And it's the woman with the issue of blood, like Jacob,
you're
you were mentioning, yeah, before we started, is she was clamoring, climbing, trying to get through the crowd, just because she knew if she touched his cloak, like, or his tallit, or whatever was hanging off of him at the moment, and it's like she would be healed if she was desperate,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But then there's also, you don't see the healing at all.
Right.
And they die. Or they live with the affliction or whatever it is. Paul had the same thing. James in the Bible, we know he was crippled. They weren't healed and they walked with Jesus.
Yeah.
And yet they were able to preach the message. I look at people like my mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was, why did she die?
Yeah.
And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that where she is beautiful and perfect. And I can almost guarantee you, I can't say for sure, but I can almost guarantee you that she'd be like, if you raise me from the dead, I will slap you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I will slap you and say, send me back. Because that is healing.
Exactly.
That is
ultimate,
perfect.
Ultimate
that
healing.
Is everything that we can not even imagine.
Right. Well, and that's really interesting, Mike. I you know, you're somebody, and we know many in our church who have experienced very traumatic deaths through family and whatever else. And I don't know, are you willing to talk about that a little bit of like, what was your process in? Because I'm sure you guys prayed for her for healing.
Yeah, we did. We did. And mom was somebody who you're like, she's never done anything wrong in her life. I can almost guarantee. Well, I know she did, but
I know what you mean though. She's a righteous woman.
She was,
someone to look up to,
a role model. She was loved Jesus. And when she was laying in the hospital those last 2 weeks, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and I prayed and I sat and I prayed and I'm like, God, just come on one time, just do it.
Yeah.
And it never happened. And I can remember the day before she passed, we had it was a pretty traumatic scare. And I walked in and they called the cold blue and everything was going off and the floor was going crazy. And she just looked at me, just smiled and very peaceful and said, I thought I was going home.
Mm.
I thought I was going home right now. Mm. And I'm like, that would be the best place for you.
Absolutely.
There's nothing better than to be there with the man you have walked with for these 60 years. And it was beautiful, and it sucks. I still have really bad days, and mm-hmm. I'm like, that's, you know, mom, I really need to call you, but I know where you are, and you're healed.
So you just brought up something incredibly important, which is the will of the individual.
Mm.
And there is times where I feel like people, they say they want to be healed, but they don't really want to be healed. I'm not saying this about your mom, but I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in Washington State, there was a healing anointing in the room one Sunday, and the Lord started giving me words of knowledge for ailments I didn't know were there. And I was calling them out and people were getting healed. All the ones I called out were getting healed, even a 90-something-year-old woman's knee, who she's still 90 years old, she's still falling apart, and she had an injury forever. And in that moment, she was healed. And I know for a fact, because I know her son, that healing lasted. And it was the best part on her body was that knee, right? But here's the funny part. There were other people in there that had ailments, and they didn't respond to the invitation for healing.
Mm.
So be it a lack of faith, be it a skepticism of what's happening in the room, whatever it was, those people didn't want to be healed. And I had one specific person who had an ailment, who had a friend that was there, and the friend waved their hand and was like, she needs to be healed, she needs to be healed. She didn't ask to be healed.
Mm.
Her friend stepped in and was pointing her out, and I walked over to pray for her, and the friend was like, pray for her, pray for her, pray for her. And the person that was actually had the injury didn't ask once, didn't do anything, and I was like, this is weird. She doesn't really actually, whatever is going on internally right now, she's not open to receive healing.
Mm.
And so the friend persisted so much that I was like, okay, well, is it okay if we pray for you? And they were kind of like, yeah, like whatever, you know? And I was like, oh, this isn't going to work. Like, this isn't going to happen. They don't want healing. And so I prayed for the lady that had the injury. Nothing happened. Meanwhile, and that's got to be a weird moment. It was a weird moment for me. It was a weird moment for other people, because there was like, literally, there's probably at least 10 people in that room that all got healed in the matter of minutes. Like, instant miraculous healing, right? And then you have these others that you know that are in the room that need healing that didn't respond. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of moments with Jesus. And we were talking about this off recording where Jesus didn't always heal everybody that was there that needed healing. He healed the ones that asked for it. Yeah. And there is something to the will of man where if we don't really want it, I don't know. Does it happen? I'm not sure. I think about people also that have experienced where they identify more with their ailment, like it's become an identity and they've gotten things from it, be it money or care or whatever. And it's like they actually don't want to let go of it because their ailment provides for them something.
Yeah.
And if they were to be healed, they'd actually have to go get a job. They would actually have to take control of their life and discipline and stuff. Anyways, I'm throwing stuff out there. jump in here.
I think that's a very interesting point. The one question he asked the guy at the pool, the Bethesda, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Yeah, I do. I just can't get in the water. I just try and I try and I try. And that was the first question. Do you want to be healed? And he asked the guys that were calling after him that were blind, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? We want to see. I think that there is something to that.
Well, Heather, I'm curious. We've been talking about praying for other people. Shane, you brought up that story. We talked about the people bringing the man through the roof to lower him to the feet of Jesus. I'm curious because I know you've been talking with the tweens about like the spiritual discipline of prayer, and sort of, I'm curious, like from like that age perspective, what is prayer looking like for them and how does that relate to healing?
Right. So, yeah, we have been talking about prayer a lot for the last several weeks and we're going to continue in that because it is really important. We have been hitting on intercession prayer and how to pray for other people. And we practice that when we have our meetings, by, you know, with prayer requests. And, we just prayed for a grandpa who was recently diagnosed with cancer and teaching the kids that we pray in Jesus's name. Like he's the one who heals. It's not our prayers. It's not anything we can do, but it's Jesus. So, just really making sure that they know how important it is to keep praying, to keep that communication with God. And prayer is how we communicate with God. How we build our
relationship. Well, we see that throughout the New Testament scripture is praying in Jesus' name, walking in the authority that he extends to us as being advocates for him on the earth.
What do you guys think is the process of spiritual healing that happens inside of you that maybe whether you're praying for yourself or you're praying for somebody else, what do you think is happening within you in that process of praying, especially in those long processes of praying for someone's healing?
You want my personal?
Go for it. Go for it. What's changed in your life?
Oh, that has been a process. And I know that the healing, he's been more interested in my person, my being, not my body. Not that I have any issues, really. I've been blessed with health. But you look at me 12 years ago and I lived where I lived, they would have pointed at me and said, just don't be like Mike. Mm-hmm. Just don't be like that guy. He is a disaster.
Yeah.
And in the 12 years since I have began truly follow Jesus, he's brought me into a place where I wouldn't even recognize myself.
Right.
If I would have seen that back then, the peace that has come, the emotional growth, the authority that I'm able to exercise in his name, not in a prideful, like, look at me, look at me. It's the things that he's walked me through, the relationships that have been reconciled between me and my parents and people that I've hurt in my past. Like, these are the things that actually bring joy, actually bring peace, not monetary possessions or all these really fancy things or titles or whatever. You have peace because you can live with who you are. You're walking into the creation of Michael.
Right.
And that healing process is there's no price. You can't say any worth on that.
And that's on Sunday. I talked about to follow Jesus is to walk with the healer. And I think we often overemphasize certain types of healing instead of realizing like the working out our salvation daily is a process of healing. Like we are, the more we walk and follow Jesus, we are experiencing healing. Sometimes that's emotional. Sometimes that's relational. Like there's all these other aspects. And so to answer your question for me is it draws me closer to him. Mm-hmm. Like, and it emphasizes the need. What's interesting, we were talking about the pool of Bethesda and Jesus healing the invalid there. There were people all over that pool. And the pool of Bethesda in that story reminds me a lot of America, because it's like they had another option for healing where that one dude only had Jesus, right? And it's like they're all clamoring for the water and they're probably fighting each other to get in it. And that was their source of healing, which was not actually the healer. Meanwhile, the healer was right there. And I don't want to overanalyze that and get off track with it, but it does display something. And that is not only the healing, but the connection, the need for healing, and then the invalid reaching out and getting to know Jesus as the healer is a very powerful thing. And that's what happens for me is when I need healing, which we all need healing daily, really. But when I need healing, my pursuit, my first thing is the Lord and knowing him and being known by him and then letting him work in my life. That's the best part and the biggest part for me of the byproduct of, you know, asking and contending for and praying for healing.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of been my experience too. Like I've seen miraculous healing, but I haven't experienced it like personally, within my own life. But I do notice that in the process of praying on my own behalf or praying on others' behalf, that the shift in relationship, between me and God that happens, which I see is just as, if not more valuable than if I were to get what I wanted when I prayed for it.
Here's a totally, out of the box piece of this, but here's the reality. Like this world, if you examine it, it's made to heal itself. Like the creator God, healer of all things, made a world that can heal itself, made human bodies that ultimately, when taken care of, can heal itself. I think that's incredible. Like I could cut my arm today, and then guess what happens? My body works to heal itself, right? Which even in our very design of how we're made is healing, which to me just identifies even more of our creator being a healer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think people discount the, I mean, as much as I believe it's important to pray for miraculous healing, people often discount using doctors or people with specific wisdom of how our body is designed to work in that way. Like, and there's scriptural evidence for it. Like in, let me find it. 2 Kings chapter 20, they go to the godly prophet Isaiah looking for wisdom on how to heal a wound. And he says, well, you got to make a mixture of these things and put it on the wound.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, I'm not just going to stick my hand on it and pray for God Almighty, but sometimes we need to do things that is wise physically to provide healing.
Well, even God himself set up healthcare in the law. If you read the law, when he goes through all the skin diseases and the things that if this shows up, or if you see this circle with a white spot, or if you see this, he's explaining it in detail and then saying, here's how you take care of it. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know.
Right.
And so he's saying in the law, here's your health care plan.
Absolutely.
This is how you follow it. This is how you take care of your body. This is how you get rid of this disease. And so that was God living with the people still saying, take care of your body.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because people misunderstand the law so much. And they're like, oh, he has all these rules and blah, 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 you know, about like God being this dictator of whatever. Yeah. Like, no, you don't understand. They're taking people that have been in slavery 400 years that do not know how to live free.
Yep.
And God is giving them keys, insight, healthcare. These things are going, you are a people set apart. I want you to not only survive, but thrive.
Yeah.
Here's how it happens. It is instructional, and it's like going to your doctor and him saying, hey, eat this, do this sort of exercise, treat your life like this.
Right.
And if you do, you will be healthy, which, by the way, even today, people don't follow, and then they wonder why they're sick. You know. But I'm glad you brought that up, Jacob, because we don't want to downplay doctors in the same way that we're called to be pastors here around this table. There are people called to the ministry of health and to be involved in practical healing, because that is a real thing. I can prove to you, we were just talking about how the earth is made to heal, and we are made to heal. So God literally provided plants and things on the earth that have healing properties that when we eat, you know, or when turned into medicine or whatever, it can heal us. And God has given people divine revelation and wisdom on how to use those things for our health, just like he gave in the law. I mean, a lot of that stuff's actually written in there already, you know? And so it's interesting. And what I'm hearing us talk about overwhelmingly in so many aspects is our God is a healer.
Yeah.
And he has put forth all these things to find healing on the earth. It's incredible.
Yeah. And Jesus, you know, he says that whatever I hear the Father do, I do. And so I think the bottom line of all of it is he is a healer. He desires for all of us to be whole. Ultimately, we know that that is his plan when we are taken and gone into the new age and we get to be with him forever. But the relationship now is what is the key. What is he telling me to do? How do I be obedient? How do I walk in the authority that Jesus has given me as his ambassador in this world?
Mm-hmm.
And we miss that.
Yeah, and you made me, as we're talking, I'm just thinking about how many times physical healing is tied to the need for emotional healing or trauma. And, you know, I was talking about how I pray for the sick. And let me just tell you that weird things happen. And when I say weird, I don't mean like weird, bad, but what you don't expect. So you could be praying for, and this has happened to me where I'm praying for an injury, but as I'm praying, the person encounters the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in their soul in a way that brings soul healing in such a powerful way. And the body ends up just getting healed because the body ailment was tied to unforgiveness and anger and all these things in their emotions, in their soul. And they needed soul healing before they got the body healing. And there's all kinds of stuff like that. So if you're out there and you watch Sunday and you start praying for healing, be ready to see other things happen. So when you lay your hands on somebody and you start praying and they start weeping uncontrollably or shaking because what actually is happening, they're having an encounter with God, and it's not about their knee anymore or their heart or whatever. They're actually encountering God, and God is doing something way deeper than a simple physical healing. That stuff can happen. And like I said, I think the most important thing to the Lord is our spirit and our soul. Just God being not only healing that, healing our relationship with God Almighty, but also us getting healing in that and getting healing with other relationships, all that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah. He created us to be forever, and our forever version is not the body. It's not this body. And so we see the body and we say, this is it. This is our identity. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you focus. But when you realize that this is the prequel to what is going to be perfect. He says, I'm going to make who you are stand out.
Right.
Because who you are will be with me forever.
Yeah. Can I throw out a what if? It's like sometimes people get healed in an instant, but the what if is what if just basically, scientifically, physiologically speaking, their DNA is so bad that they're like literal just scientific earthly being is going to be a life of ailments. what if his thought, what if God's thought is, hey, you're gonna die today so that you can live eternally with me tomorrow and the rest of eternity.
You know, it's like, take you out of evil.
Exactly.
To rescue you from the worst part.
Yeah. And I just don't think we understand that, because for us, for humans, especially unbelievers, death is such a massive thing. And it, in our culture, it's become this huge, like we are striving and starving and clamoring to find, to live forever. And we weren't, that wasn't supposed to, that's not what we're set up to do. The living forever is not in this body, but yet we're just constantly looking for ways to extend life. And God's like, hey, come to know me, mm-hmm. come to faith in me, build a relationship with me so that we can be together forever. And that's the real ultimate. That's the real ultimate plan, the end game, you know, the special thing that we all actually yearn for. And I look at other cultures, and people used to celebrate death. They used to, it was such a different experience. It was like, oh man, you know, like they, you know, it's just a totally different viewpoint and perspective. But our perspective right now is very temporary. And then when we lose somebody or something, or we're so disturbed by it, instead of realizing like death is coming for everyone, right. Like it is a guaranteed thing. And wouldn't you be more worried about your eternity than your temporary, you know? It's just interesting.
Yeah. So it goes back to the relationship. I think that's a good place to wrap up today. I don't know. I really think that, listener, if you're really curious, it's about the healer, not the healing. Mm-hmm. And when you know the healer, you will find healing.
Right. Amen.
Jane, would you pray us out today?
Yeah. Lord, I pray for all those listening that you would minister to them hope, that you would minister to them your peace, and that they would have just a increase or a special fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Help them see that they are actually healing, that there is healing happening in them every day when they walk with you. And I pray that they would become bold, that they would share their faith in you, that they would pray for people for healing, that they would begin to walk in the authority that you have given us so we could be ambassadors for you on this earth. I pray that there would be more gifts of healing, that you would impart gifts of healing, that people would hunger for that ability and to see that a spiritual gift upon their life. And I pray if there's anyone listening that doesn't know you, Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would realize how much of a blessing and how much of a really simple step it actually is to enter eternity through you, how much you love them, how much you've sacrificed for them and the life that you're calling them into. And I just say over them in the name of Jesus, be saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.